Good morning, it's 9 o'clock, calling the meeting to order. We have Daniel, Marie, Jenny, Kirby, and myself chairing. Looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
So move.
Motion by Marie, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? None, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the September 15th, 2021 LOC meeting minutes and forward to the business committee for consideration.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Current business, local land use regulations reimbursement policy repeal.
This item starts on page 4 of your packet. The local land use regulation reimbursement policy was first adopted by the business committee in 2009 for the purpose of preserving and protecting the inherent rights of the Oneida Nation to create and enforce tribal land use regulations of the nation for fees and or fines associated with compliance under written protest with local land use regulations. So this law was necessary because certain local governments refused to recognize the preemption of state and local land use regulations with respect to the activities of tribal members and tribal member-owned businesses on the reservation, and with respect to non-members and non-tribal member-owned businesses utilizing tribal land. And they refused to recognize the authority of the nation to regulate such activities. So this situation caused hardships for such tribal members, non-members, and businesses who were inappropriately threatened with enforcement of local land use regulations. So the purpose of this law was to alleviate such hardship. The law neither condoned the acts of local governments nor conceded that such local governments have jurisdiction to regulate the land use of tribal members, non-members, and businesses otherwise subject to the laws of the nation. So on June 4th, 2021, the Oneida Law Office submitted a request for the LOC to consider the repeal of this law based on the Big Apple Fest decision that confirmed that municipalities have very limited jurisdiction over the nation and tribal members on the reservation. So the law office had advised that tribal business units could move forward with projects with tribal permits only. The Oneida Law Office proposed that due to the definitive ruling we received in the Big Apple Fest case, the policy considerations supporting this law no longer exist, so it should be repealed. Repealing this law will be consistent with the Oneida Law Office's advice that tribal business units could move forward with projects with tribal permits only. So the LOC added this law to its active files list on July 7th, 2021. So the reason for the repeal of this law was a result of the Oneida Nation v. Village of Hobart. So a little bit of background on that. So the nation annually holds its Big Apple Fest to provide family fun on the reservation. The Big Apple Fest event is held at the Oneida Apple Orchard in the Oneida Cultural Heritage, which are located on both trust land and land owned by the nation in fee simple status. In 2016, the Village of Hobart, which lies entirely within the boundaries of the Oneida Nation Reservation, adopted a special events permit ordinance that required the nation to obtain a permit for its festivals. The nation rejected Hobart's permitting process and in its continued attempts to assert jurisdiction over tribal land and members. So the nation held its Big Apple Fest, and as a result, Hobart then issued the nation a $5,000 citation for violating its ordinance. So the nation then filed an action in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin for declaratory and injunctive relief that challenged Hobart's legal authority to enforce the ordinance. So Hobart filed a counterclaim for declaratory relief. The court later dismissed the counterclaim, reasoning that the nation would comply with the ordinance following the ruling in the case. The court then entered summary judgment for Hobart, holding that the festival grounds owned by the nation and fee simple were not sovereign federal trust land and thus fell within Hobart's jurisdiction. The court inferred that Congress's intent to diminish the reservation was manifest in the Dawes Act and subsequent legislative acts, which divided the reservation into individual allotments rather than collectively held tribal property, and thus the conveyance of tribal members' fee simple land to non-tribal members followed allotment paired with the fact that these lands were not reobtained and placed in the federal trust meant that the lands in question no longer constituted the reservation. So since the Big Apple Fest was held on non-trust property, the court reasoned that the nation was subject to Hobart's ordinance. So the nation appealed the decision of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. The Seventh Circuit reversed the lower court's decisions and confirmed that the Oneida Nation Reservation as defined in the 1838 treaty, remained intact and was not diminished by Congress. Therefore, the land falling within the reservation boundaries was Indian country and not subject to most state and local regulation. So Hobart lacked jurisdiction to apply its ordinance to the nation on reservations activities. So the effect of this decision was, the decision in this case affirmed the nation's sovereignty and set forth the precedents that local governments, such as Hobart, do not have jurisdiction to apply their ordinances to the activities of the nation on the reservation due to the fact that the reservation is Indian country and not subject to local or state regulation. Therefore, the law office had determined that this law may be no longer necessary since the decision in this case recognized the authority of the nation to regulate such activities as well as the preemption of state and local regulations of the nation. So on August 18th, the LOC approved the local land use regulation reimbursement policy repeal, legislative analysis, and the public meeting notice, and tentatively scheduled a public meeting for the repeal of this law to be held on September 9th, 2021, and a public comment period to be held open until September 16th. So the LOC tentatively scheduled a public meeting to be held on September 9th in accordance with the Oneida Business Committee Resolution BC8321A, titled Setting Public Gathering Guidelines During the Public Health State of Emergency COVID-19. So this public meeting notice provided that the public meeting would not be held if the infection rates within Brown or Outagamie counties exceeded low, as identified by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. This notice also identified that if a public meeting was not able to be held, the public comment period would still remain open, and the nation's COVID-19 team's March 27th, 2020 declaration, suspension of public meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act, shall take effect. So this declaration provided that the Legislative Procedures Act requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period was suspended due to the COVID-19 public health emergency. So the infection rates within Brown and Outagamie counties exceeded low, as identified by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services during the public comment timeframe. So the tentative September 9th in-person public meeting was canceled, but the public comment period was still held open until September 16th. So individuals could participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, or other input via email to the LOC. And then I would just like to identify that the cancellation of the September 9th meeting, as well as the fact that the public comment period would still be held open, was sent out on the Update Oneida Communications email and posted on the Oneida Nation website and published in the Gully Wee Sox. So during the public comment period, no written submissions or comments were received by the LOC. So on page 5 of your packet, you'll find a public comment review memo, which contains much of the same information I've shared here today. And this memo identifies that no public comments were received for the repeal of the local land use regulation reimbursement policy. So we're now asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to accept the public comment review memorandum.
So moved.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? None. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to further law amendments, Kristen.
Good morning. This item starts on page 7 of the packet. The LOC added this item to the active files list on October 7th, 2020, to incorporate Indian preference into the nation's furlough program and provide clarity regarding certain processes within the law that were flagged for analysis following the recent furlough program that was implemented in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The nation's furlough policy was originally adopted on November 10, 2015 through Resolution BC-1110-15B to establish a process for initiating and implementing a furlough program for employees of the Oneida Nation. This will be the first time that the law has been amended since its initial adoption. Once added to the active files list, the Legislative Reference Office created a work group made up of representatives from areas within the nation that are, or upon amendment, will be responsible for administering the law and or most impacted by the changes to the law. The areas were the Human Resources Department, Retail, Gaming, and Employee Relations. The Legislative Reference Office met with the work group on 4 separate occasions to collect input and suggestions regarding possible amendments to the law. The Legislative Reference Office also met with the Legislative Operating Committee on 10 separate occasions to address the concerns and changes that prompted it to add the law to the active files list in the first place, to discuss the information collected from the work group and to have the Legislative Operating Committee make policy decisions in response thereto. So beginning on page 11 of your packet is draft one of the amendments to the furlough law. It's called policy now, but if added and adopted, will be renamed the furlough law. The red line version of the draft on page 24 of your packet reflects all changes being proposed to the current law. So I will now highlight some of the more significant changes and additions being proposed at this juncture in the process. First, that Indian preference will now be applied to determine the order for placing employees in furlough status and recalling them back to work, with preference being afforded in the following order, beginning with the most preferred category of employees: enrolled members of the United Nations, Oneida citizens eligible for enrollment in the United Nations, documented first-generation Oneida descendants, Indians as defined as any person other than an Oneida citizen who is a citizen of a federally recognized Indian tribe other than the United Nations, and then non-Indians. For purposes of clarity and to ensure consistent application, the following definition for Oneida citizen was added to the law to mean those persons who are enrolled members of the nation, eligible for enrollment in the nation, or documented first-generation Oneida descendants. Thus, the first three preference categories, meaning the groups of employees given the highest degree of preference, are reserved for Oneida citizens. The law also incorporates priorities to be used after applying Indian preference when deciding order of placement, as well as recall of employees in the same preference level that still remain. Those priorities from highest to least prioritized are seniority, veteran status, and performance, with performance being assessed based on the most recent evaluation that existed on the date the Oneida Business Committee adopted the furlough triggering resolution at issue. Another change were that amendments were made to the law to update the process for initiating and implementing a furlough program, including a new provision for preparing for a furlough program before it is even initiated, which include in part that within a reasonable time after the amendments go into effect, all direct report level positions or duly authorized designees shall submit a furlough implementation plan using a standard template created by the Human Resources Department that is aimed at eliciting in advance information that will allow the nation to implement a furlough program in as efficient and consistent a manner as possible under the circumstances. It also includes a set process for when and how a furlough program may be initiated, including a requirement that the Oneida Business Committee consider alternative options before such initiation and a list of certain activities that are prohibited during a furlough program. Also added was a set process for how furlough program will be implemented once initiated by resolution of the United Business Committee. And added were assignments of responsibilities for carrying out a furlough program in accordance with the law. The law will now require that a furlough program be implemented as either an emergency or an administrative program and be carried out in accordance with such characterization. The law will allow the Oneida Business Committee to establish an ad hoc committee made up of employees of the nation appointed by the Oneida Business Committee to assist in the implementation of a furlough program, which may include, if requested by the Oneida Business Committee, assisting with the classification of critical positions and deciding which departments and positions will be subject to the furlough program at issue. And last, the amendments will add more notice and due process protections to the law by including specific notice requirements for the placement and recall of employees subject to a furlough program, by requiring that the Human Resources Department add training on Indian preference to its mandatory employee orientation program so that incoming employees have a better understanding of where they stand in the event of a furlough program, that requiring direct report level positions and supervisors who will be responsible for implementing a furlough program within their respective department or division to undergo training themselves on the application of this law every 2 years, and to broaden the scope of claims that an employee placed in furlough status can bring on appeal from only claims that placement was based on disciplinary reasons to claims that a furlough program was implemented in violation of the law. On August 18th, 2021, the Legislative Operating Committee approved the draft furlough amendments and the legislative analysis, which can be found on page 38 of your packet. The legislative analysis is a plain language analysis describing the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the Legislative Operating Committee to make informed decisions regarding the legislation. The legislative analysis was updated following the August 8th meeting to account for several changes that were made to the draft during various work sessions following that August 8th meeting. So now we have a draft and the legislative analysis of the furlough law amendments that are ready to move on to the next step of the legislative process, which is where we collect public input on the proposed law. Typically, the Legislative Procedure Act requires the Legislative Operating Committee hold a public meeting where people can come in person and provide comments on proposed legislation or ask questions, and then hold open a public comment period for an additional 5 business days where an individual may submit written comments or questions on proposed legislation. But because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the nation's public health state of emergency, we are unable to safely hold in-person public meetings at this time. Oneida Business Committee Resolution BC080321A, entitled Setting Public Gathering Guidelines During Public Health State of Emergency, COVID-19, prohibits indoor and outdoor public gatherings when the COVID-19 infection rates within Brown or Outagamie counties exceed low, as identified by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. The nation's COVID-19 core decision-making team addressed the issue of not being able to safely hold public meetings through its March 27, 2020 declaration titled Suspension of Public Meetings Under the Legislative Procedures Act. This declaration suspended the LPA's requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period, but allows members of the community to still participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, data, or input on proposed legislation to the Legislative Operating Committee via email during the public comment period. So although a public meeting will not be held on the proposed furlough law amendments, a public comment period will still be held open until November 11, 2021, in accordance with the Legislative Procedures Act and the COVID-19 core decision-making team's suspension of public meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act declaration. On page 52 of your packet, you will find the public comment period notice. This notice will be published in the Gully WESACs and placed on their webpage, and the whole public comment period packet, which will consist of the draft of the proposed amendments, the legislative analysis, as well as this notice, will be placed online on the Oneida Register and electronically provided to all managers, directors, and supervisors of the nation. The public comment period will be held open until November 11, 2021, and written comments can be submitted to the nation's secretary's office or the Legislative Reference Office. So at this time, I'm looking for the LOC to consider a motion to approve the furlough law amendments public comment period notice and to forward the furlough law amendments public comment period to be held open until November 11th, 2021.
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? None, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to adjourn at 9:18.
So move at 9:18.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Daniel. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thank you, everyone.